Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, fade it out right away because I don't know if I could sit through this without picturing you laughing at me as the song plays.
I'm actually not laughing, but it was loud. It was loud, and it brought back childhood memories. Yeah.
I'm sorry it's loud. It's not loud on my end.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to turn off this music. Hello, everyone. You are listening to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark. I have a very special guest today. Her name is Dr. Lindsay Wisner. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm good. Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Now, you're not somebody who I would call a classic Little House on the Prairie fan.
I am not. But as soon as you said, as soon as you brought it up, I was like, oh, I love Michael Landon. Yeah. And great looking guy. But it was actually more like when he died, I had this sort of weird realization that I had thought that he was actually God because of Highway to Heaven. Hmm. And I was way older than the fact that I should have thought that he was God. Because, once I looked at the dates and stuff, I was like, oh, that's awkward. I should have realized he was not God. Like, I think I was in high school. So it was one of these weird childhood associations that I guess stayed with me. And so once you said it, I was like, yeah, I love Little House. It was kind of.
Well, you gave me that look of like, you're married to a woman, right, Mark? And so
I have never doubted your sexuality, but I was like, how in the hell did you? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long and torrid, boring story, but we're here now. So, Lindsay is somebody who, I've known you for a couple years now. I don't know if you remember the way you introduced yourself to me, which is it's a way I share with other people. I think it's kind of funny. You walked up to me with your business card at a school function and you're a psychologist and your card says, I think it has a couple things like you deal with a lot of very serious issues, parenting, grief, divorce, conflict,
suicide,
suicide. And you handed me this card and you go, somebody told me that you could use this. and you looked at me just dead cold, and I'm like, huh? Like it's very hard to get me kind of like what's going on right now type of thing.
But do you remember what had happened right before that I did that?
No.
Okay, so we were walking outside, and you tripped and then recovered. And I did what I did because I wanted to sort of ease the embarrassment of like – if you felt silly, I wanted to make a joke in another direction that was, well, I guess still at your expense.
I had already forgotten probably that I tripped.
Okay, so that was my logic. Like you tripped. And so 2 seconds later, I walked up to you and I was like, someone said you needed my help or something because I thought I was being funny.
And your son and my son were great friends at this point. Then they kind of drifted away, but they're back together as being good friends, which is great. I think that just happens over time. But I immediately liked you. I immediately thought like this person has a good sense of humor, dark sense of humor. And and maybe you need that when you're dealing with so many serious issues. So can you describe, I guess, actually who you are and what you do and I guess your background and I love having you as a person on the show. But I also asked you on, I guess, because we're going to be reviewing a pretty sensitive episode. Like, why would I ask you?
Right. Well, I think you think I'm much more sensitive than I am. But I think you so I am a clinical psychologist. I work actually a lot with suicidal teenagers and anxiety in adults. I am also a podcaster.
What is your podcast?
It's Neurotic Nourishment, and Mark has told me that I'm good at it, so you should check it out.
It's actually a very listenable podcast, and when I say that I've said that to people, and they're like, what the hell do you mean listenable? No, I mean it, like, you put it on, and you can actually, it doesn't bother me. Like, I can follow it, I get something from it, and it doesn't take up the whole day, like Warner Grovecast.
I'm going to take it as a compliment.
No, seriously, I don't listen to too many podcasts, and your podcast I will return to, and I find it very listenable.
Well, thank you. I try to talk pretty frankly about, you know, real stuff we have, but also with some humor, because it's true, you need humor to get through life.
Right.
So I call it the podcast for smart, sweary moms. It's not actually just for moms or actually just for women, although Mark has pointed out the majority of my guests are women. But it's fun, and it started as a lark.
Majority of my guests are women, actually. I think the majority of listeners for Warner Grovecast are women, although
well,
I try
good.
To mix men into it. But then I get a little bit more hate mail, so I really like that.
I have never gotten hate mail from my podcast, and I'm really sad. And
I'll write one.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So send it to me. That's fine. Maybe it's because people don't know where to send it, but I'm sure they'd figure it out. I also have a book coming out in March called 10 Steps to Finding Happy, and it's a self-help book on happiness. It's myself, a co-author, and 24 expert writers. And I think in retrospect, we should have called it Becoming Happier. Because I think it's like spoiled, rotten, you know, first world problems to think that our default should be happy. But that's not what the book's about. So
I'm excited to read your book. I think that your writing will be a lot like the way you are. I think that you're kind of the type of person who basically writes the way you speak.
Yes.
I find it entertaining. I imagine that the content will be pretty useful. Have you ever heard of an author? He's a New York City guy, Mitch Horowitz.
No.
He wrote The Miracle Club. He does a lot of more esoteric stuff like Edgar Casey and occult stuff. But he's somebody I'll pass along his email to you if you have an interest in checking him out. He's a kind of a friend of mine, a great writer, and just one of these. He does self-help type stuff, but not like... It's self-help, but you don't know it until the end, kind of, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, what the ideal should be. I mean, I'm excited for 10 Steps to Finding Happy because it's coming out in accordance with the United Nations International Day of Happiness, which is actually a real thing. But that's a whole other waste of space there. But I mean, I'm very honored. But I think this is an in-your-face self-help book. And I do think that there's probably more to be gained from like one of those, as you described it, where it's at the end that you realize all that you've learned. But this is my first, and my second will be about teens and suicide. And so I'm all cheery.
Well, I think you do have to be cheery, right? I mean, if you're going to sit there and be just down and out, it's going to come out in your books and it's going to not be very helpful.
Yeah, true.
When does your book get released?
So the release date is March 20th, 2020, and I'm also trying to use it as a way to talk about, I'm calling it like end the stigma or hashtag 10 steps end the stigma, because I think one of the main problems we have is when, especially teenagers, but when someone talks about having bad feelings, and God forbid you talk about having thoughts of suicide, like, no one wants to talk about it. Parents say to keep it quiet. They, you know, you end up in an ER for 7 hours where someone with significantly less experience than I have is going to assess you. And you would literally have to be slitting your wrists in front of, you know, the nurse or doctor to get admitted. So I would rather we make it more okay to talk about feeling like garbage. By the way, can we swear on the show or no?
Sure.
Okay. I don't have to. I was just curious. But
I mean, the way I swear is more, I'll swear the way I normally swear, not like overswear, but, you know, it's not like Goodfellas.
So tell me, am I more like Goodfellas or?
Did you curse yet?
No.
Oh, okay. So I'm like, I didn't catch it, so I guess it would have been casual.
Wait,
I just want to mention that I did find a pre-order page on Amazon. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Thank you, Mark.
For 10 Steps to Finding Happiness, A Guide to Permanent Satisfaction. I like the cover. Did you have anything to do with the cover?
Not a darn thing.
Really?
Nope, nothing.
You know, I used to design covers like for Scholastic Entertainment. Like I've done Goosebumps covers and a UK version of Harry Potter, which nobody bought. Not that nobody bought it. It was a collector's thing. So nobody bought it because there were only like 1,000 made.
That's very interesting. Well, you can design my next cover.
Design it. Okay. I do judge a book by its cover. And I do like this cover.
Good.
It's kind of a faded happy face and everything, but it's not like cheery. It looks like kind of like something a kid would do, like on a notebook, which I like.
I'll take that. Okay.
So yeah, I'll put a link to the Amazon. Do you prefer that people go to the Amazon, or do you have like kind of a pre-order page on your website or anything like that?
Amazon? No, I don't. I have no preference. Amazon would be great. That, you know, if you're interested, you could pre-order, and that would be great.
And if people were to buy this book and leave a review and mention this podcast, I'll send them a sticker.
Yay! That would be great. And you can leave a review. You can leave a review on Goodreads or Amazon.
Oh yeah, Goodreads is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I interview a lot of authors on another podcast I do, and not.
I still can't get you to tell me how many podcasts you have, Mark. It's still like the secret.
Yeah, it's one of these things. I can't really. We're removing them. We're replacing them.
Maybe I would be a good author for you to have on the other show. I'm just saying.
No, you know, it's funny. As we're talking here, I'm like, you know what? I think that we could totally turn this into an episode of one of these other podcasts. No offense to the Walnut Grove cast audience, but the other podcast has a much bigger audience. And they kind of expect that of me. But I'm in that very fortunate situation where every month I'm on the book list. So I get like free books and stuff.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Yeah, it's kind of cool when it's a good book. They're sending me a lot of like how to tune your chakra and stuff like that. And I'm not really into any of that stuff.
My chakra's okay, I think, you know.
My chakra's good.
My chakra's good. I'll sage my house or some shit. It'll be fine.
Did you sage your house? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Oh, good. From what I understand, coming from an esoteric thing, and this is where people will send me an email saying, you need Jesus. And they will, and that's okay. So saging supposedly pisses off the angry spirits if there are any. It makes them angry, and it doesn't make them leave. But what it can do is it's really just, I don't know really what the intent is, except it pisses off angry spirits. So. And that's it.
I thought it was like cleansing, but interesting. Yeah. Okay, so note to self, no saging.
Frankincense and myrrh are cleansing. That's why they use it in Catholic churches.
Oh, I did not
And it
know.
Also allows, if you're going to buy into the sequel to Judaism, you can, frankincense and myrrh also carries your prayer to heaven. Oh, Catholicism.
That's sweet. We could use birds or doves for that, but I like that.
They don't go high enough. All right. So, back to 1881. We're going to be covering an episode. And the number one reasons why I reached out to you for this, and I spoke to a couple people who I've had on the show to review this, namely Kim Layer and Leah Mitchell. And I said, I want to cover Sylvia, but being that the entire episode is about rape, the rape of a 14-year-old girl, it's bananas. Like, you, for one, I'm a guy, and it's coming from me is strange to begin with. But this whole podcast is strange for me to be doing. So, but the bottom line is, I didn't want to go and just put it out there. And I have a number of people who listen to the show who couldn't wait for Sylvia to be reviewed. And that creeps me out a little bit. I think that people, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. They kind of romanticize rape, especially in television. And it's a little bit creepy to me.
That's a lot.
It's more than a little bit. Yeah. It's creepy to me because although I don't think these people are intending to do that, I don't think these people are like, yeah, rape her. But I think that there's something wrong with our culture when we want somebody to talk about this episode so much. It comes up all the time.
Well, maybe, but it's also a crazy pants episode.
Yeah. It's funny, too.
It's I was less than amused, but I wasn't like, I wasn't triggered. like I wasn't emotionally, like the whole thing was so messed up. It was fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all, there's a, I almost feel like I'm watching a Greek legend play out in 1881.
Absolutely.
You know, it there's a lot more here than I think most people realize. A lot of people have also pointed at, you know, this came out in 1981. Slasher movies were tremendous at this point.
Yeah.
So they feel as though Michael Landon was trying to get into that jump scare type of situation. And I would imagine he would. I mean, he in the late 70s, he released kind of his version of Rocky on Little House, where he had an African-American boxer who was all beaten up. But he had these kind of like Rocky moments in the ring.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're also a good 7 years into the show at this point, or something like that. I think it's, yeah, season 7. And we're running out of ideas, I think. You know, what can you do for 2 episodes that is going to grab the attention because our ratings are down? I tend to think
ratings,
about that.
Do we know what happened? See, this is the thing. I kept trying to Google to find out, like, what the reaction at the time was. And, of course, it's, you know, you can't go back. Like, it's not like today where there'd be 8,000 things popped up on. So I really couldn't find any reaction.
It's out there. Little House on the Prairie, for the most part, has never been a number one hit show. But it always brought in a consistent audience. So by them putting out something very controversial, especially a two-part controversial, I think that it brings a lot to the table for the time. I mean, 81, I mean, we're talking, the world had changed at this point.
In what way?
You know, we weren't, you know, television was getting more open. You know, we had already passed the point of homosexuals on TV. We, you know, disco was finally gone. You know, it's, you know, the 80s are here. It's like a brand new type of thing. And even the slasher genre, like I was saying, these are like sexualized fantasies of, you know, people just being constantly attacked. I don't know if you watched any of the early 80s slasher movies, but they're awful.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of the time, but there was a lot to compete against for a show that's based in the 19th century.
I agree. And I think, but I also think that I felt like the emphasis on the slasher movies was something that someone else threw in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this episode was written by Michael Landon, which I thought was like kind of the most interesting part.
He writes all the sad ones.
Right. And I think his home life is the family he comes from was pretty messed up.
Sure.
So, you know, I did not know until I was watching this episode. And actually, I was watching the episode and I started Googling something, like looking up some, you know, by accident. No, purposely Googling, and then somehow found a full depiction of the 2 episodes. And I was like, are you shitting me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't believe it when I saw it written down. And it was even more amazing when I saw it unfold, because there were so many painful and awkward and bizarre twists and turns. My personal theory. Oh, and by the way, this was released in 81, like a month before his mother, who was extremely fucked up and suicidal, and I'm guessing mentally ill, passed. And so I sort of wonder if there's some connection there. But that's me going a little bit shrinky dink, because there's definitely something about this young boy being the hero and trying to save this girl who was raped. And, you know, there's not a lot of solid information out there about Michael Landon's mother, not that surprisingly, but she seemed to have been very deeply disturbed. And it felt to me, like reading what I read, that his father did not protect him from her, you know, emotional abuse. Mm-hmm. So I definitely wondered if his mother had been raped, or, you know, if this was his attempt to save his mother, or I know it's very shaky dink.
No, it's not. I mean, he's somebody who had, who's been in front of the camera for so long. I mean, you know, he might see this, you know, the father character as his mother, Even though I think Sylvia is a much more of a victim than somebody who's just kind of going through some type of verbal abuse. I mean, it's terrible, but I just think rape is more terrible. If I had to say what's more, you know.
I don't know. Your mother trying to kill herself in front of you is pretty terrible.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
I guess. No, I'm kidding. It depends on your mother. So I'm going to play some clips. I'm going to play the Peeping Tom thing, which I don't know. I never peeped in anybody's windows. It's one of these things that we've seen a lot in movies. Back to the Future, I think there was. Was this like something that was an ongoing? I guess even now it is. We're voyeurs from our computers, I guess.
Yeah, but fun fact, most rapists start out as peeping toms. Hmm. Like you can find earlier, you know, convictions of peeping toms. It's like a huge predictor of being a future rapist. Now, does that mean most peeping toms at 14? No, but it definitely was an odd start to it.
Yeah. So basically the whole episode starts out, they're going through some form of Sears catalog. I don't really know.
That's what I said too. That's what I wrote down.
That's what it looks like, but it's, and it very well might be, but it's a catalog and it has, women's brassieres and, all types of very, sexy drawings. Right.
Do you really say brassieres?
No, well, in 1881 I do.
Okay, fine.
But I don't think they're like modern bras. You know, a brassiere I think of as the kind with a corset connected or something.
Yes.
I don't wear one, so I don't know. So I call them underwear, not panties. I don't know. So, but Willie character got to the page where it's like these super sexy pencil drawings, and we're immediately seeing that the young boys that were so cute are coming of age. I think that's what that's supposed to be the intro. You know, that's the introduction to that. We even see a little bit of peach fuzz on Willie's upper lip, which he hopefully shaved away pretty quickly. So here's the clip where they're looking through Sylvia's window. Sylvia's the more developed girl of the class. Although I don't think we see Sylvia before this, do we?
No.
No. So, and Sylvia's not a common character. She's really not a character at all. And with Little House on the Prairie, whenever there's a character that comes out of nowhere, one of two things are going to happen. They're going to die or they're going to kill somebody else. There's a lot of killing and death on Little House on the Prairie and house fires and stuff. All right, so here we go. Whoops.
No, maybe she isn't home. Wait a minute. There she is.
What's she doing?
Starting to put clean sheets on her bed.
Darn. We'll never get to see nothing.
Hey, you boys, what you doing?
So, you know, without the music, it sounds really, really kind of sketchy. It seems like really, whoa, this could be re-edited into a horror movie. But the music turns it up a little bit because, you know, the David Rose music really adds a certain element of the jolliness to the scene.
Right.
So the Mr. Webb sees that they're peeping into his daughter's window, and I'll just play this through a little.
Gotcha!
Let me go. I didn't do anything.
You didn't, huh? What are you sneaking around my daughter's window for?
I wasn't.
You were too? Don't you lie to me, boy. I'll take a switch to you. You were trying to look at my daughter, weren't you? Now answer me!
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Please don't. I said I was sorry.
You let go of that child!
Now, this is something that never happens in the Little House on the Prairie universe, is that Harriet Olsen shows up to save the day.
That was confusing, yes.
Yeah. Harriet is, I mean, you know the show generally, right?
Yes.
So you know she's the one who, like, Betsy's watched the show with me, and she's like, why doesn't the town just get together and lynch her?
Yeah,
she's awful
I'm with
sometimes.
Betsy.
Yeah. I mean, she's so much worse than even in this episode, but this is a good example of a Harriet being Harriet. So she basically yells, leave that boy alone. Albert, I don't know if you know the history of it. Albert is an orphan.
Yes.
And I think they reference it later when Albert's just talking about how, you know, what
the
would
love.
You, yeah, the yes. love. I forget exactly the conversation, but the whole thing is just kind of innocent at this point, almost innocent. I mean,
it's innocent except for the father's total reaction.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. Up to this point, it's really just curiosity, you know, making the kids look terrible. Granted, if I saw my son peeping through the window of a girl next door, I would be pretty angry. I think you would be angry as well, but not. I get it.
My son would get caught. He's
but
not
it's
very
inappropriate.
Good at that sort of stuff. Yeah.
They would need to know that this is not an acceptable thing to do.
Right.
So if I had a daughter, which you do have a daughter. And,
I do.
I don't know if you wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat because, like, you know, every day she gets older and you're going to have to deal with boys at some point. But I think it's scary because girls in our culture are just the vulnerable ones. And it's very unfortunate that I even say that. It's just,
I don't think it's unfortunate. I think it's truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, physically and, you know, from like 8 different ways, physically, we're by and large not as strong as our male counterparts. We were not, you know, biologically made to be so. And, you know, that says nothing about intellectually, et cetera, because some of you guys are dumb as shit. But like, you know, in general, I don't think you're saying anything wrong. I think it is truth.
Right.
We are the physically weaker sex.
But in 2019, people do take offense to that. I'm not saying you would, but people would say, well, what the hell does that mean? And it's like, all right, look, that's the truth. Like you just said.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, there are people who take advantage of that. And that is just one of my biggest, you know, if I saw something like that forming, it would freak me out if it was my child. So we have the father who, we don't get a story exactly as to what happened with the mom.
Right. She's dead and she has something
Maybe.
To do with the devil. No,
did she
die? Yeah, she did die. They
okay.
say that she's dead and something about,
Well, I'm going to play the clip of him
okay.
being like dad of the year.
Yes.
Because I'm going to guess this isn't the first time this happened. It's probably the second. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Serene, get out of here. Come here. You hear the yelling?
Yes, sir.
It was them boys from school coming to leer at you. You've been making eyes at them boys.
No, Pa. I swear I haven't.
Why'd they come here, then? Answer me!
I don't know, Pa.
You don't know. You don't know. Well, I know. You've been flirting at school.
No. I told you, no.
Don't you lie to me.
I'm not. I swear it.
You're a wanton thing, Sylvie. Lord knows I've tried. But there's a devil in you. Same as the one that killed your ma.
Say that, Pa. Please. I didn't do anything.
You did. You had to. If I see them boys come back here, I'm going to give you the whipping of your life. You understand?
Now, this is fair because she can control that.
Totally. Well, we do. We are the stronger sex in that we can mentally will our body parts to grow larger or smaller.
Right. It's, if you just want it to happen, it will.
Right. You could slow down development. I mean, he is obviously terrified of, you know, her changing body. But that mm-hmm. is the line that I thought was where he said, you know, the devil, just like it killed your mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that my imagination is that something happened. It seems to me like one of these, I read recently The Radium Girls, which is a really interesting book about the women that were, do you know, are you familiar with it at all?
Yeah, the women who painted the radium on the watches.
Right. And then obviously it's radium is not good for you. As
now,
we
I have one around here somewhere in a lead box, believe it or not.
Okay, great. Keep it contained in a way. Yeah. But I am a little curious. I might want to see that. Good place for it. Yeah. So but then when these women first started to die, so that the company didn't get the blame, they a lot of them were diagnosed with sexual diseases like chlamydia,
right,
which don't often destroy your, you know, disintegrate bone. But nonetheless, this is how it was covered up, because it was easier to shame a woman sexually than for this company to, you know.
I didn't know there was a whole book. There was a book on that. That's actually
it's really,
really
good. It's really, and apparently they're making it into a movie, which I cannot imagine how, because in order to get all the characters, like, I had to keep flipping back and forth, and I'm fairly intelligent, but the dad's tone is such that I think he's like desperate to have whatever happened with the mom, which was something, not happen to Sylvia. And so he wants to think that Sylvia can control it, and then he can control it by proxy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go on a limb also and say that I don't think that he's necessarily a bad person. I think he's just emotionally connected to what happened, and he's affected by it so much that he's kind of lost his mind.
Yes.
I don't think he has bad intentions. I genuinely think he's not trying to ruin her life, but he is. And that scares me as a parent, to be honest with you. Whenever I have to, you know, do any type of discipline, I'm thinking, am I being the dick? I really do have to step away a little bit and go, is this too harsh? And it always ends up that, you know, I have one kid, so it's like, I always think I'm being the dick. So,
yeah, but he's a good kid, honestly. So you're obviously not being that much of a
only
dick.
Only 11, though. I mean, we have a couple more years to go before I throw him out.
Mark, we both know that there are kids that have been dicks since they were 3 in this town. So.
Yeah, I have one that lives 3 blocks away from me.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of that kid's actually grown up quite a bit. And he's...
That's what I hear, but I still, you know...
From what I understand, and let's just say it out loud, he stopped growling in school.
Well, that is a positive.
That is a step in the right direction.
Right. So, this is the kid who would, like, first grade, like, tried to put a pencil in my kid's eye, so.
Oh, my God. See, that is a story I forgot about.
Yeah. My kid could have walked into the pencil because, like, he's a little clumsy. But honestly, yeah. The growling, it is not going to go well for that kid based on the parents. But
I always like your kid, though. He likes music, and whenever he's at my house, he's always playing music on the Alexa device.
Really? Well, he's now started quoting you, like, when we passed by the 7-Eleven. He's like, oh, it's fresh pizza because it's hot or something. I don't know.
That's to do with I said that?
Yes. Yes. So
that is the weirdest I never heard.
My son is obsessed with food, so.
Oh, okay. Well,
yes.
The next time I'm making... food in our smoker in the back, I'll have him over.
Oh, have me over for that too. That sounds
there you go.
But not that other kid, because I think there are like dickhead kids, and it usually comes from dickhead parents. And you know, I heard this horrible story. A friend called me very upset because this on the bus route, this second grade girl had two second grade girls had been so mean to this boy that like he was crying hysterically. And I know the older siblings of this girl, and they're all dicks. So, you know, I think there are bad kids, and there are bad matches between parents and kids. Like if Willie was this dad's son, I think he might need to be a little more stern, you know?
And not, you know, I always talk about scouting and stuff like that and stuff I do with my kids. So I'm just going to bring it into this, but we're not naming names really, even though we are naming names, but, you know, our kids started middle school this year. So
yes,
I think it was a bit of a transition. It's still a transition. So one of the things that I'm actually relieved about is that my son is part of this little group of scouts. Even though he has friends outside of scouting, he like at lunch, he's sitting with your kid and kids from scouting. And it's like they're good friends. All of them, they're hopefully creating this lifelong bond that I think helps develop as you get older. Because another thing is they correct each other, which I think is really good. That's one thing that I'm starting to notice. Like if one kid steps out of line, the other one reminds him that he's stepping out of line.
I think we need to increase the frequency of scouts to 3 times a week then, because my kid, I would like someone else to be correcting my kid besides me.
You'll see. Send him to summer camp and he'll come back a different kid. Minded.
Interesting idea.
Yeah. No.
It's, first, I have to get him to have a sleepover, though. So, you know.
That's coming.
I know.
So here's the comic relief, because after such a funny scene, we need to also remember that this is Little House on the Prairie. So, again, on playing on the coming of age type of theme, we are back at Olson's Mercantile. Sorry.
Nils! He's really here.
He's upstairs in his room.
Oh, I knew it.
Well, she's reacting because Mr. Webb said, well, your Willie was one of those boys looking, peering at Sylvia. And she just couldn't believe it because her Willie is perfect.
Oh, my God. And by the way, the fact that this kid's name is Willie is sort of killing me at this point.
Exactly. I didn't even catch that.
What? I told Mr. Webb that my son was not one of those boys.
One of what boys?
Boys are peeking in his daughter's window trying to get a look at her. I told him that my Willie was home.
He just got here.
What?
He said he was on a nature study.
Oh, no!
Harriet, boys will be boys.
Now, this is a line that we've all heard growing up, right? Boys will be boys. I think it's a little bit of a bullshit excuse. I think it's a way of... Even though, again, I don't think what they did is the worst thing in the world. I just think the boys will be boys comment is not really friendly to, well, I guess when this gets released, it'll be 2020. It's not for 2020. Do you disagree with that?
Yeah, no, I agree. But I also think it depends on the comment, like on the context of the comment. Like, boys will be boys. Well, it depends if you're like roughhousing or...
It's used too often, and I'll hear it from these quote-unquote bad parents that we're surrounded by, where no matter what their kid does, their kid brings home a failing grade, or they stay up late, they don't listen, the boys will be boys. No, that some of that can be corrected
you know,
by studying and telling them to go to sleep.
Right. I think boys can be boys when it's about, I think... My context association is, you know, when they're like talking like locker room talk, so to speak. And to
like Donald Trump.
Yep. That's where I was going. I just didn't know if we were going to open up another. Yeah. Yeah.
We won't
go
down a political rabbit hole just because so many different people listen to the show and
right,
I don't like to, you know.
Right. But yes, that was my association. But I also think that there's a difference between what Donald Trump said and other like sort of less egregious locker room talk. But I'm actually okay with the boys will be boys line with, well, with locker room talk in general. I mean, preferably not our president, but regardless, it's like the action. If we're going to use that boys will be boys excuse over some sort of action against women, you know, like I saw the other day, this reporter was covering a race of some sort and a runner went by this female reporter and smacked her on the ass. So like that's, first of all, we're adults, but you know, that's an action that crosses that boys will be boys.
Well, no,
line.
It's kind of a nice compliment, right?
Oh, totally. I'm sure that's how she took it. What a bitch for not taking it that way.
That's insane, actually.
It is insane. And I thought about it and like, had he whistled or something, I don't think it would have been like, okay, boys will be boys, ha ha, or, you know, marathon runner high, whatever. But like to physically touch another woman.
No.
Like, yeah.
It's not okay. I see very few times where that's okay. Like if you're walking behind your wife up the stairs and you do it, it's funny. But
yes.
But if it's someone else's wife, don't do it. I don't know. It's, yeah, it's just not okay. Some things are just not okay, and some things are just not boys will be boys. So
right, but this is also a crazy pants. This woman is crazy, Willie's mom.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's, well, yeah, Harriet is just one of those characters. So she's having some serious issues basically dealing with the fact that her son is going through puberty. Do you know about the Nellie character, the Nellie Olson character?
A little bit. I mean, I watched some of the earlier stuff. You know, I certainly don't remember season 7. I do remember, though, the episode where She faked paralysis and was pushed down the stairs, or what? Which also, like, actually, as a predecessor to this episode, it makes a little more sense. Like, there was a dark twist there. Like, you know.
Well, Alison Arngrim has actually, she has a great book called Confessions of a Prairie Bitch. If I have a copy, I'll lend it to you.
Yeah.
It's really, really worth reading. Alison is she's been on the show a couple times, and she's such an open, open person, and she's done so much, and she's crazy. She's just crazy. And her character on the screen was really just the bitchiest, like almost like just a miniature version of Harriet, but cruel, you know, and that's why you kind of love to hate her.
Yeah, she was literally the foil to Laura Ingalls Wilder.
So, you know, now we have the Willie character, which is actually in real life Melissa Gilbert's brother, which is just weird that they wouldn't make him, you know, he wouldn't have the actual brother role with her. But he's always been the troublemaker and everything. So for him to kind of have an interest in girls all of a sudden is probably shocking even for the 1981 TV audience. So I think any of them having any type of sexual desire is kind of crazy. And to put that innocence on top of an episode about rape is kind of insane. Not insane, but it's crazy.
It is crazy, but it's also like an insane degree of innocence. Like what she says is Harriet says something about she doesn't want them to know that. Oh, she's afraid. Mom is upset that he might see the difference.
Right. And I didn't see anything. Right.
And like, I have a sister. Like, you know, how would you?
Right. Like, we probably bathed together. Yeah. I think I know the difference.
I figured it out. I saw it, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's such a weird sheltering, you know, like Willie would be that kid that went to college and like just got alcohol poisoning the first week or something.
Yeah, in 1981. But yeah, in 1881, right. He would be the guy who just kind of marries the girl and has the farm or the mercantile.
No, he'd be at the pub. No, I don't know. It's like once he got a little bit of freedom, he would lose his mind.
Well, they have the character grow up and actually be a halfway decent person, which is funny.
Meh, fine.
Albert, on the other hand, got, I think, some type of leukemia and died.
Yeah, I also stumbled across that. I was like, what the holy fuck?
And Matthew Labrato was a beloved character. So for that to happen is, again, I think that Michael Landon takes these very broad decisions and just really kind of throws things at people. I think it's daring for a show like this to do an episode on rape. This is an episode that I don't recall being played very often in syndication when I was younger.
I wonder why. It didn't go well with The Price is Right, I guess.
Right, exactly. So here's Albert basically confronting Sylvia, and I think we're starting to see the sparks and the beginning of a bit of a very innocent and very sweet crush.
Look, about yesterday, we were just being silly.
I know.
It's more visual, but they're kind of giving each other googly eyes and everything. It's okay that you're looking at me, you know, naked.
But, well, that's the thing. And from a woman's, from a girl's, like a 14-year-old girl's perspective, like, I would be uncomfortable as fuck. Like, what am I going to say? Like, it's okay? Or, like, you know, am I flattered? Am I horrified? Am I ashamed? You know, I've been taught that my body is horrible by my father. Like, it's such an awkward moment, not as they portray it, but in my head.
Well, here's the other side of the coin on that. And that this is something that's coming up more and more. And it's women who are saying that they are feeling as though when somebody who's unattractive is hitting on them, they're offended. But if it's somebody who's attractive, they're less offended. And this
where
is
one, that coming out more and
I can
more.
Send you a link. You know, there was just a really big discussion about it. Not more than a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. It might have even been in one of your like trade magazines. And I don't agree. I look at it as black and white. I mean, granted, if the guy is good looking and you have an interest in him, does that make it slightly more okay?
Well, it depends what we mean by hitting on him. Do we mean like sending a...
Well, you know, people are very sensitive now. So it's like, right, hey, Lindsay, I really like the way you look in that dress. You know, some people could take that as, well, you know, what do you mean? You're looking at me in my dress? But if you're a great-looking guy, it's like, oh, wow, he noticed me.
Well, I mean, there is a natural biological inclination where if more attractive people are more desirable because they are thought to have better DNA and, like, obviously subconsciously. And so... more attractive people are more desirable, and therefore we absolutely give them a pass. And, you know, two people can have like the same, two people go for a job interview and one is ugly and one is hot. Guess, you know, same, and they have the same experience, accomplishments, et cetera. Hot guy is more
right,
likely
you're
going to
lean towards. Yeah.
Yeah. It has biological bases, but I also think if, like, I don't care. Well, first of all, with the whole dick pics going around, like, I don't care if you, I don't care what your face looks like. Don't send me the picture, you know?
Right.
And then there's also.
I didn't
tone.
Send anything, did I? No.
Not yet. No. There's also like tone or, you know, if it's, I like the way you look at that dress and you're like leering at me.
But it's also sometimes very subjective. And it also has to do with who is doing it. So I'm not saying that it's right. I don't think it's right. I think in a workplace, work should be done. It's just the way I feel. It's just one of these things where people are easily offended these days, men and women. So
I agree.
And the other 76 different genders that are out there. So,
well, that is, yes. And that, yes.
Not to go down that rabbit hole.
No, I was just going to say, I have a friend from grad school, and she put this broad statement on Facebook the other day that if you purposely call someone by their unchosen gender, it's a hate crime.
Yeah, and there's like, all these microaggressions or their macroaggressions. And, you know, I have one problem with all of this, right? And it's one particular group, and I think we need to just squash it right away. And it's the bisexuals. Okay. They're saying there's only two.
Oh, that is a really brilliant point.
And they're right in the middle of the LGBTQIA whatever.
Right, but now most acronym. People are identifying as pansexual.
But you know what? They're still out there, the bis.
I think
they're
they
even
just
called
aren't...
the bis.
No, they're not. They are not.
I think that people need to be more bi curious.
I think people are more bi-curious than you know.
Oh, yeah. I think absolutely. But anyway, the bisexuals, they got to go.
The prairie, there are no bisexuals that I know of yet. Although,
I'm trying to think. I don't think there was any type of homosexual, maybe undertones, but I don't believe any of it was addressed. This isn't
If Michael Landon had one more season, I think he would have found a way to do it.
He's like, we got to bring up those Nielsen ratings.
Exactly.
Nels and Reverend Alden. All right, so we have him basically confronting Sylvia, and they kind of talk a little bit. Now, the reason why a board of education exists and laws even is so that things like this next scene doesn't happen. And
this was so confusing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really crazy because everybody's in there, but you don't even think to say, hey, you know what? Let's invite Mr. Webb to be in there to talk about his.
Oh, my God.
He's the only person that should be.
Very glad. No, he should not be. That man should be far away from any sort of a. I mean, no. But also, you know, Laura should not have slapped. I guess this hasn't happened yet. No. Whatever it is. I don't want Mr. Webb in there.
All right, here we go. Laura calls, you know, Sylvia and says, come here and. We're going to basically shame you.
Yep.
Is something wrong?
Oh, the board just wants to talk to you. It'll be all right.
Low SAT scores. And in here, we have four men, right? We have Michael Landon. We have, you know, Pa. We have Mercantile Owner. We have the Blacksmith, who is my favorite character in the episode. And we have Doc Baker.
Now that is horrible, but okay.
Doc Baker.
I was just excited to see Michael Landon. I was just like, oh! I fangirled the shit out of it. And then, like, it almost took me off the what the F of the scene.
If this were to happen, something like this were to happen today, it would be the only people that should be in this room, in all reality, is maybe, if we're representing, you know, the child and the school and what's going on with her body, would be the doctor, Laura, and the parent. And that's it. You don't need...
Wait, why does the blacksmith there? Does he have a child, by the way? Because I didn't even realize that. Like, I know he's there just to make an early appearance, but, like, does he have a kid?
Like, you know, I really like his... it's not really a shirt. It's more of a... I don't know what it is. It's like a very light jacket shirt thing. It's, like, suede, but not... It's kind of interesting.
All right. Is literally the least memorable thing to me about the black.
Well, it's paused right now. It's paused in front of me, and I'm like, oh, it's kind of nice.
Gotcha.
Mrs. Olson called this meeting, Sylvia. She'll explain why.
Yes. It has been called to my attention that there have been things going on in the school that are, what might be called improper. Well, you do know what I'm talking about, don't you?
No, ma'am, I don't. You see, Mrs. Olson,
I am conducting this meeting, Mrs. Wilder.
Certainly.
Now, several of the boys were at your house yesterday afternoon, were they not?
Yes, ma'am, they were.
Why were they there?
Well, they...
Come. Why were they there?
They were just being silly.
I don't call peeking in a young girl's window being silly.
Well, they didn't see anything.
Oh, really? Then why your house? There are lots of other girls around the school. Why your house?
I don't know.
I do.
I do, too.
Tease them.
Well, and you bring this up. You went through a similar type of body...
Yes. Body growth. I was the first girl to wear a bra, and I 100%
in America.
But in my small school, in my small middle school, there were probably, I think there were 50 people in the grade. And so, I was the first person to wear a bra. And in fact, because it's so small, I still am in communication with some of these people. And several boys specifically remember me being the first person to wear a bra. And so, you know, I remember developing early. And it was, I guess it was, I actually remember having the thought that maybe if I lose enough weight, I will not develop.
And, the opposite, really. Yeah.
No, it's not. But the summer I know, but like the summer before sixth grade, I remember I developed like a teensy bit of an eating disorder, like in terms of like over-exercising and trying to burn off as many calories as I consumed because of a desire to like not mature and not get that attention. Now, obviously the eating disorder didn't stick and it was, you know, it's my parents weren't, you know, aware or alert enough to pick up on it, although I was working out for 4 or 5 hours a day. But I remember it was specifically out of a desire to, I guess, to not get that male attention that I didn't know what to do with yet.
To get smaller in general.
Yes. It was, I mean, I guess so, but it was boobs.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things. I mean, it does happen at an age where a lot of people have, you know, said puberty is probably the closest to insanity that most people get to. I mean, and this big change is coming and all of this attention is being brought to you that you don't even, they have no control over.
And, right.
Yeah. It's very unfair, especially for such an awkward age.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I get, again, men will never understand. I think I'm not trying to really understand it. I don't, it seems very, very haunting, to be honest with you. And then there's the people who haven't developed or they're late developers. And it's like you have that stress that they dealt with that in one episode of this with Melissa Gilbert's character, where she actually put apples in her dress. And then during people are like, what's with these lumps on her? And the apples fell out and she was mortified, you know.
Well, I mean, apples also are weird-looking boobs, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's 1880s, 1870s at that time. But
I still think they've got some idea. Or maybe not. They didn't all get the Sears catalog, apparently.
Right. Well, the Sears catalog was not that detailed. I looked. So
yeah, I could tell.
Screenshot and blew it up. Yeah. So, yeah, it's you must understand, I guess, on a real personal level, what this character, at least, is going through. But thankfully, I would imagine your parents didn't blame you for this. And one scene I didn't play is when Mr. Webb tells her to go into the other room and bind herself down so that she can basically cover up the fact that she's developing, which cannot be comfortable.
No, I don't imagine it is. Although, I mean,
it's like a Spanx, I guess, like type of thing.
I mean, it's the type of thing that people use for actually transgender people use it. So there you go.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there, that does happen. But yeah, so they're shaming this poor girl like in front of men. You know, it's just very unfair.
Yes.
But luckily, Charles Ingalls, being the voice of reason, steps up.
I fell in love with him so much. Oh, but you know what? I was also really angry at Laura Ingalls Wilder for allowing this to happen. Like, that was my initial reaction was, are you kidding? And, like, I think it was, like, a girl, you know, like a, like, I know that you're just, like, a young kid and, like, you clearly haven't been teaching that long, mm-hmm. but someone's got to protect this kid, and why can't it be you?
Well, this is the Board of Education. It really is. So I think Harriet's the head of the board. So she, it's her say. And there's even a point where Harriet gets Laura fired, you know, in another episode. And she teaches all this French stuff and everybody freaks out because there's nudity in the artwork, which is just in complete opposite of what we're talking about here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she has no problem with, you know, nudity when it comes to art, but, you know, a coming-of-age type of situation, she seems to have a real issue with.
But, right, because she doesn't want to think about her kid getting older.
Mm-hmm. No, none of us do. But that's life. So, you know, I'm going to play Michael Landon basically getting this all to kind of get finalized and moved on.
And lead them on. That's why. Oops.
That's not true.
It is true.
Mrs. Olson, taking the word of one child over the word of another.
Mr. Ingalls, you're taking her side when one of the boys lured to her house happened to have been your own son.
My son told me exactly what happened, and he wasn't lured to that house by anything except natural curiosity.
Oh, and you condone such actions?
No, I don't condone them, but I do understand them. All of us can remember growing up, sneaking around the swimming hole for a peek. It's human nature.
Oh, well, really, I certainly don't remember any of the boys sneaking around the swimming pond when I was a girl.
That's the truth.
So that's always funny. So, yeah, Nell's coming in with a little bit of a jab there. I don't know what the end game is here. Like, are we going to kill her?
We are going to shame her and humiliate her for no actual purpose other than we are going to target her because she looks like what we don't want to see, which is that our children growing up.
Right. So, yeah. And we also don't know what she wants to. What's the solution here? To not have her go to school?
No, she wants her to stop teasing the boys, which...
Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah, she has this imaginary thing.
That does happen, but that's not what this is, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Sylvia does dress a little provocatively. So she's all buttoned. You can see neck.
Yeah, you do see neck. That's true. A little collarbone. Nope, no collarbone, actually, come to think about it.
In the next scene, we have Albert defending Sylvia, which we see there being a sweet type of thing, but also Sylvia walking home through the woods. The big woods, and we get to finally see a kind of a creeper. Actually, while she's leaving the school, we get to see this kind of person leering through bushes at possibly her.
Which doesn't make any sense, actually, in retrospect.
No. There's the typical jump scare here, where I believe birds just fly off, and she's all alone. She's in the woods picking flowers. Like, I mean, what's more innocent, right? And all of a sudden, a man in a harlequin mask jumps out and grabs her. I'll play the music of it. It's real kind of visual, but it's pretty scary for 1981 family TV. And that mask is crazy, right?
That mask is crazy and frightening, but also, once I found out who the rapist was, I spent the rest of the episode thinking about the fact that he still looks like this creepy, scary mime without, like, there's a resemblance between, you know, rapist and rapist with mask. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
I think I understand what you're saying. So what happens in the next scene is we get to see Mr. Webb kind of waiting up for Sylvia in a rocking chair, and it's clearly it's dark out, and she shows up at the house and she's like, help me, Papa. So he helps her to the bed. I thought when I first rewatched this, because I hadn't seen this in a very long time, I thought he was more supportive at this moment than he had been in the past. Like, he was at least getting her in bed and covering her in a blanket.
Yeah, but that's before he found out what happened.
But then, you know, but he was mad at the person at this point at first. So I'm just going to play a little bit of it. Also, did you notice how their, you know, their house has walls and everything? It's like plaster walls. When you look at the Ingalls house, I point this out so much, it's such like a shack.
Yeah.
They have twigs in the walls. And it's
well, they just couldn't adjust after the first season, I think. Like, they had already paid for that set. They were not creating something new. So
this was all shot in Simi Valley, I believe, in California. So 90% of the time, it was like over 85 degrees.
Which I did. I also had a question about, like, they're all wearing long pants, long. And, you know,
dying.
Even towards the end where, like, Sylvia is cold, I'm like, why is Sylvia cold? You're not wearing a jacket. Like, nothing makes sense with the, yeah.
Yeah, Alison Arngrim talks about having these huge dresses and wigs on and, like, practically passing out. Because it's sounds just like, crazy.
It's such a good time. I mean, overall, this sounds like a good time to be a child actor and, you know, and to be a woman and, you know, because it's not just, because it is the 80s. Like, they released this thinking that, I mean, I guess thinking
wait,
that
do you mean
it
the 1880s or the 1980s?
I sort of mean both. I mean, in this sentence, I mean like the 1980s, where like you release this. If you release this today, I mean, you would literally have, you could start a new movement. You could start a hashtag bigger than me too. You know, like,
well,
it's
the thing that is right across the line. Every single person I've spoken to who's worked on the show, not one of them has ever said anything negative happened on the set. You know, things that would never happen on any other set would happen, such as 6 o'clock would come and everybody would go home every day. Michael Annan really felt he felt it was very important for people to go home with their families, to their families, and to not overwork. Although he did push them to get these things like 95 degrees out and you have to wear these outfits, everybody was treated really, really well. And nobody was disrespected. There's no stories like that exist from all of the people I've spoken to so far.
Which is nice, yeah.
Which is a lot of people I've spoken to.
That's like, why he's God, you know. Michael Landon was God. He had to be kind.
Yeah. He really, from what I understand, his reputation really was that he was a decent person and Jewish. So
I know, half Jew, but yes.
I'll count it as a whole.
He did get bar mitzvahed, so.
And also, the person who does all the music, David Rose, is also Jewish.
His name is David, let's be honest. Yeah.
I think it's David Rosenberg.
Oh, even
yeah,
better.
He did one of those.
What happened to her?
Cold. So cold.
What happened?
I was walking home, and I heard something. I thought it was birds.
And then what?
Someone grabbed me, put his hand over my mouth, and pulled me down. Oh,
See, as a kid, I had no idea. I'm like, oh, wow, she, you know, he beat her up. You know, like, I'm not
really... Yeah, I would have had no idea either.
And it's, you know, it's a real crazy experience when you find out that, you know, something else happened. You know, I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but yeah, she's with child, so to speak. So this is the saddest moment, I think, so far I'm going to play. Nobody who goes through such a traumatic experience should have to hear something. This is just complete nonsense. And I think that this is right from Michael Landon hoping that he could portray this as being as disgusting as it is. So,
you're not to tell anyone about this. It must not be known that you... You understand me, Sylvia. No one must know of this disgrace. You understand?
I mean, this is like 6 minutes after she just walked in the door. It's
right,
kind of crazy.
You disagree? No, it's just that him saying her not to tell, it's exactly what I was saying earlier about, you know, mental illness and the stigma and all that stuff. You know, he really is, like, I kind of wouldn't want anyone to know my daughter was raped either, because it just makes it more complicated for her. But in this way, based on his actions before and after, it's clear that, you know, somehow this is her fault. That's the tone in his voice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's putting it all on her. You know, it's a disgrace, right? It's not like...
Let's find almost, this dude, yeah.
It's disgraceful because you're involved, you know? And it's a disgrace because of you. It's not a disgrace because of the action, in a way. And I don't know. I just feel as though it's a cruel, cruel thing. And that's where you're kind of like, this guy's just a broken guy who should not be raising a kid.
Agreed.
So... I don't know when this is, but it's maybe the next day or a week later, a month later. We don't have much of a timeline on this show very often, but Sylvia has a bit of a mental break in front of the school.
Come on.
No, Sylvia, no, Sylvia, no, Sylvia.
Laura smacks her.
You know? That was crazy pants, but fine. Okay. The times, I understand.
It's like, get a hold of yourself, girl. And she brings her to the doctor, Doc Baker, who promptly says that she should go to a sanitarium. Now, that is pretty much what would happen in New York City.
He says she should go to a sanitarium?
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
But that is what would happen in the city. You know, in New York in the late 1800s, that is exactly what would happen. There's a book that I wish I had, but it's basically about mental illness and of, you know, in the late 19th century. I can't remember her name. We might have spoken about this. The woman who committed herself, even though she had no mental illness, on purpose.
Oh, it was a big study. Yeah.
Bly? I forget her first name.
No.
Her last name might have been Bly. It's this big thing. And, but this is what would happen if a woman was raped. They would be committed, and God forbid they were pregnant. You know, it would be even worse.
Right. So
here we are at the doctor's office. Doc Baker has a pretty long list of people dying in his care, so it's never the best person to take a person to.
I'm also unclear how he determined she was pregnant, but it's fine.
They have a rabbit.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a gold watch, but a rabbit makes sense.
No,
too.
No, no. Come on. It's 1881. They have a rabbit and a gold watch.
Right. And they work together.
Yes.
How is she?
I don't really know. I can't get a thing out of her. What exactly happened at school?
Well, I didn't see what started it. By the time I got out there, she was screaming and hitting. I guess one of the boys must have been teasing her.
She was hitting them?
Yeah.
Did the boys strike her?
No, not that I saw.
Well, somebody has. Her body is very bruised.
My Sylvia here?
Yes, she is.
Sylvia! Come on, I'll take you home.
Mr. Webb.
I'll need your Aetna card. Before you leave, let me just fill this out.
I'm in a hurry, Doctor.
Don't you want to know what happened?
I've already heard. Sylvia got mad at some boys. Nothing strange about that.
Well, there is something strange about the bruises on her body.
She say anything to you?
No, she hadn't said anything yet.
Well, she fell. She fell down the stairs into the root cellar.
Bruises don't appear to have been caused by a fall.
You calling me a liar?
No, I'm just trying to...
And the conversation is over. Come on, Sylvia.
And also, you know, a lot of this stuff we look at in comparison to today, in the sense of just casually talking.
Child Protective Services, yeah.
Well, that and HIPAA laws, you know, like you can't just have...
You know what? Someone brought up the HIPAA law, but I got to tell you, like, listen, it's the 1800s. That's so that's like the least of our issues. I mean, this is my job and like go fuck your HIPAA laws. Like, this is so crazy pants. This is the least interesting thing about this episode. But yeah, Child Protective Services, which, by the way, there's a bizarre but true statistic that... women who are abused or sexually abused or assaulted or raped once are actually or molested or whatever, you know, category of awfulness are actually more likely to be victims in the same way again. And so this definitely was a moment for me when I was like, you know, the Child Protective Services thing jumped into my brain. And then I was like, I wonder if he has abused her. I wasn't thinking dad, not I wasn't thinking sexually, but you know, physically in some way, because she's way too okay with the bruises. And also they're apparently brand new to town, so they must move around a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. They're brand new to town, but they also seem to have a history with him because they were saying that's not like him.
Mm.
You know, somebody has to be around a little bit to be a certain way. So
that is true.
Yeah. But again, we've never seen this character before. So kind of.
And we never will again.
Yeah. I don't think. Definitely not these characters. Now, Sylvia how am I putting this? We're back at the Ingalls house. And we have Albert basically saying, I'm going to make sure that nobody messes with her because, you know. I guess it's kind of sweet. You know, I don't think he understands the severity of the situation, of course. But there's a moment here which I think is very sweet where we see a connection of the Ingalls themselves and how why people love this fake mother and father and the kind of connection that they had on screen that I think a lot of people really love. So I'm going to play this even though it's a little bit sappy.
Now and I'm going to make sure nobody teases her or nothing.
It's a good idea. I'll tell you another good idea. You're getting to bed. You need some sleep.
Yes, sir.
I wish Michael Landon read books, you know, like audio books.
I do, too. Oh, my God. Everything he says, I just love.
He's such a good tenor, you know, like he's such a
exactly.
good.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, I really could listen. I really enjoy his voice.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
See, well. That made me proud.
What's that?
His wanting to protect that young girl. He's a very sensitive young man.
Yeah, that he is. I also think he's a mite smitten with the Webb girl, too.
What on earth makes you say that?
Well, because he starts out as one of the boys that teases her, and now he wants to stand up for her.
And?
Well, and I seem to remember a certain Carolyn Quiner I used to tease when I was a little boy. Then I ended up fighting anyone that teased her.
Not everybody. Harvey Jones used to tease me, and you never fought him.
Carolyn Harvey Jones was over 200 pounds. He was over 6 feet tall, and he was as strong as a bull. I said I was smitten by you, but I wasn't suicidal. I'm going to go check the stock before I turn in.
Charles?
Yeah.
Did you still fight anybody that teased me?
Of course I would not.
Except Harvey Jones.
Now, these two are going to have sex together in about 45 minutes next to their other children.
Yes.
So there's an ongoing joke that we have whenever she's making popcorn is basically their code for, like, let's do it next to Carrie. Because Carrie's bedroom is literally right kind of across the room.
Yeah.
And this is essentially the size of my garage, right?
So, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just kind of funny how, but I think that this is one of the great couples of television. You know, there seems to be a real kind of on-screen connection.
Yeah, I worship her.
Yeah. Yeah, Karen Gressel's a really good actress, and she's still around. She won't come on the show, though. But that's all right.
Wow.
Dead to me. So here we go. We're back at the school. And what do you do when somebody has a public mental break as children? You continue teasing them, right?
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what kids do. I mean, if, you know, if something happened in our school or something, I'm going to guess that somebody would continue poking and prodding. It's fun.
If your parents didn't beat you enough, then yes, they probably would.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Here we go. Willie is basically saying, we're going to go mess with Sylvia, but we're not going to step over the line like last time, I guess.
Come on, let's go.
Are you sure we won't get in trouble?
No, we won't. We're not going to do anything to her.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, no.
Wait.
No, stop. Stop. No, no, no. Stop.
Now, go away from me.
Stop.
I told you to stop it.
Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, we weren't hurting anybody.
I told you to stop it.
Yeah, well, make me.
All right.
Oh!
And you'd be arrested nowadays. It would be like, you're paying my kid's plastic surgery bill.
We would, I don't know. I think I would, I don't know what I would do if anyone. Has your son ever been in a fight?
Yeah, he's kind of a bully, actually. No, he, let me think. One time, there was one thing he did, but it wasn't a fight. This is my son being a Boy Scout, actually. This is one of those things. There's this one kid, who is a little bit a troublemaker, and he ran up to this girl that Rami knows and hit her, just clocked her right in the head. And then started running away laughing. And Rami and one of his best friends, kid Bobby, both ran after this kid and grabbed him and dragged him to the, like, school monitor, I guess, whatever, the person who should have been able to prevent this from happening.
That is amazing.
And he's, like, screaming and kicking, like, let me off. And he actually punched Bobby. And they're like, no, you can't just do that. And it was a proud moment.
Yeah, my kids would have, my kids are more narcs than actual, you know, active
agents. That's good too, though.
Yeah, but my kids are super narcs and they're, you know, like my son would be like, you know, he's absolutely going to go tell if you're using your phone at school because.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. But my daughter is like more clever. Like she was at drama yesterday and she does musical theater and they said, there was this girl who wasn't there. And so my daughter's like, I noticed that she hasn't been here the last 2 weeks and the show is next week. So maybe I should take her solo.
Wow.
And she got the solo.
Wow. She showgirled her.
I was so impressed. I have to tell you, I was like, shit, I wasn't that brave when I was young.
Wait, yeah. Did you see Showgirls?
Yes, of course.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Like, I mean, she didn't push anybody down the stairs, but...
Not yet, but give her
took
time.
The opportunity, though. I mean, hey, you know, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I see too. A big difference between your daughter and your son. You know,
I do too.
I think your son is a lovely boy, but your daughter's already like grown, like she's already kind of mature and she kind of knows, it seems. I mean, I've spoken to the girl 15 minutes total over years, but it seems as though she's kind of, she kind of knows who she is.
She does. It's interesting. We had this horrible incident over Thanksgiving where my brother, as he was putting the kids to bed, like my kids and his kids, he said, if I have to come in here one more time, I'm going to hurt you.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yes, I come from an excellent family. And obviously we're continuing. He's continuing this tradition with his kids.
Was he holding a glass of scotch?
No, possibly, actually. But so my daughter, a few minutes later, my daughter called me. I came upstairs. She was upset. And what she said to me was, I know that he's not going to hurt me, but I've never had an adult talk to me like that before. And it makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it sounds to me that you're raising your kids in a similar way, of like a non-physical way. And that's the way I was raised.
Yeah, I don't see what the point is. Yeah.
And I find myself, and that's why I'm always saying when I discipline, I need to realize, like, I am a much more disciplining parent than the way I was raised. Mm-hmm. But I would never, like, lay a hand or anything like that. But I, you know, punishments do come down. And I always feel like I'm being a dick.
I mean, I spanked Hunter when he was two. He was two. I was pregnant with my daughter. And I spanked him and he laughed at me.
Yeah, it doesn't take.
No. And like, my husband and I had a real quick realization that I'm never going to hit the kid hard enough for it to be relevant. And at this point, he's like stronger than I am. So that you know, beating.
On a joke level, he shoved me. And I was like, what the hell is this kid?
He's a strong
250
kid.
Or something, like clock you.
Right, it's really just donuts and you know lifting weights. But I was I was just like, this kid's a strong kid. So unfortunately the window for beating him into sense has expired.
That's a good thing. If somebody messes with him and he even takes like a lazy punch, and you know he'll knock him out.
Yeah, he won't.
Like, these kids can't fight in our school.
No, we're not, they like, can't. Well,
one
thank
kid can.
God none of them can, you know. So.
One kid can, and he'll be in the high school next year. So, And he doesn't mess with anyone. He's a scout.
That's
another thing, is just, you know, not to be like, I'm going to sell the Boy Scouts of America, but, you know, Ramiel, I always say his name, Ramiel knows kids who are scouts in the high school and, you know, up in the higher classes and everything. So, it's also good in that sense where, you know, kind of like everybody gets along and they're kind of looking out for each other. I didn't have anything like that. I just had a reputation of my brother being a lot bigger than me and having a reputation as kind of like a like tough guy kind of thing. And I'm not.
I don't find you as a tough guy type, but I didn't peg you as the Little House on the Prairie type either. So go figure.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Wait until I tell you about my other podcasts.
Yeah.
No, it's so here's the dirtiest comment that was made throughout this entire episode, which I just thought begs playing.
I thought it'd be a lot harder.
It was hard enough for me.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Like, I don't know what's happening.
That was awesome. I think for that too. Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. So, you know, and I hope people don't think I'm laughing at the tone of the show. I mean, well, I'll laugh at the tone of the show, but the topic of the show, it's
stop
just
apologizing.
Yeah, I know. I didn't rape anyone. So they have like not puppy love know. Going. Not yet. No. What the hell does that mean? That's the worst thing I ever said. Not yet. So they have like puppy love going on and they make a date to go fishing. You know, this is a cute little romance thing that's going on. I think it's completely innocent and
yeah, but
strange.
The shrink in me is like, no way she would not be suffering from some serious PTSD.
Well,
I know I ruin everything.
No, well, what about, all right, I'll be devil's advocate here. Maybe she's prepping to become pretty promiscuous because of this terrible thing that happened.
Totally and, possible.
You know, it has to start somewhere. And you know what? Their relationship did flourish relatively quickly for the 19th century.
I have no clue because we are not given timelines. So I am terribly confused as to how much time has passed.
A couple
and
months.
how she was so pregnant but not showing. But you know.
Yeah, and is she taking prenatal vitamins? Because that's something
definitely
I'm really concerned
not.
About, so.
Definitely not. And there's also a weird father-daughter dynamic there where she's like takes on the role of wife and, you know, making him dinner every night. And it's weird. It's weird.
So basically she gets caught. She gets caught because she's going fishing with him every day for like, I think a couple months. I think he references it as a couple months. because Albert says that he was her beau. Mm. How adorable. So they have the little romantic moment. While they're fishing, we see a gloved rapist.
Yes, which is just...
So he's got to be local. We're thinking like, all right, maybe it's Mr. Edwards. No, it has to be somebody who's with these kind of light kind of blue-green eyes. We're, you know, and I'm looking at everybody, and everybody in the whole friggin' show has blue-green eyes.
I cannot see through the fuzzy reception on my YouTube. As
yeah,
I was,
what were you watching it on? Like,
I was watching it on YouTube because I just couldn't.
Wait, you just bought a mansion, right? So
yes,
and you don't have Amazon Prime. We can get a collection up.
We get a collection. You know, I don't quite understand this, but I don't have Amazon Prime, and I also, by the way, didn't have any coffee pods this morning.
And oh no.
The big delay in my, you know, mansion, as you put it, is it's like far enough away that I can't just run to 7-Eleven without it being like an ordeal.
Oh, no.
So I actually thought about ordering Uber Eats for Starbucks, but then realized I could not bear to live with myself if I did so.
So I grew up maybe 2 or 3 blocks away from where you just bought a house. And I saw the outside of the house. It looks beautiful. There's an underground tunnel, actually, in that area where you can go to right to a 7-Eleven.
I went to Georgetown where they did have underground tunnels, and so this sound made perfect sense to me, and also my house is kind of creepy as fuck, so I was like, oh, like, where is this tunnel?
it's really when I grew up, there really was a rumor that I forget what happened, the Snapple house, the guy who owned Snapple at the time, that he had an underground tunnel that would bring you to Peninsula, like Penn Mill.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And far.
So. Yeah, like, why would I drive? Yeah, it's like a good 3/4 of a mile or something.
Yeah.
All right. So that's where the homeless guy walks. And I take pictures of him and I post it. And then you make comments going, why can't he live his life? Let me go back to my mansion.
I just said, don't call it aggressive panhandling, damn it. Because the idiots that will be like, oh my God, who'd he harm?
Hey, that guy's gone now. He's gone.
What I predicted came true, though. People got all riled up in their britches.
Well, I'm wrapping a torch right now. I'm ready. I'm ready to go and hunt this guy down. All right.
Right.
So-
and also, speaking of which, like, why didn't Dad want to find the rapist? I mean, not that we ever imagined the rapist would, like, stalk the shit out of her, like creepy stalk. Yeah, you know,
there's more of a manhunt for Albert at the end of this episode than there is for this rapist.
Yes, 100%.
So I'm gonna play where Sylvia gets busted, and then I think we can actually skip a bunch of stuff just because this is a very, very padded episode.
Yes,
we're still in the first part. And we are 1 hour and 26 minutes in.
Yeah, we got to skip some.
This is going to be a two-parter for the review, I think. I'm going to just split it right in half.
Okay.
All right, so here we go.
Sorry I'm late, Papa. I'll put supper on straight away.
Mrs. Wilder has been keeping you later and later each week, ain't she?
Well,
this guy just sits here staring at the wall. There's no reading material. This is a salt shaker and a pepper shaker, and that's it. You know, it's like he's just sitting there. I'm going to wait until she walks in. It's like 4 hours.
Yeah.
It's like maybe he does transcendental meditation or something. I'm not really sure.
But that's like old school parenting. Like, that's what I imagine, you know.
Yeah, my mother would do that. Like, I wouldn't come home till like 4 a.m. and I would walk in. She'd just be sitting there. It's like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I know.
Not how I parent, because my kids don't leave the house. So,
well, you can track them on their phones now. So, I couldn't track them last week, though, when he went away for those days. Like, he couldn't take his phone because they didn't work up there. So, we had a little bit of a 48-hour panic attack, to be honest with you, but we're not going to share that with him.
Well, so see, Mike, not making your kid go is the easier way.
He should have went.
I know.
he'll be fine. But he was sick, so hopefully he's feeling better.
He is. Thank
you. Wouldn't have been able to go, actually. Yeah, so he would have made my kid sick, and that would have made me mad.
True. Instead, some other asshole probably made your kid sick. Don't worry, it's coming.
No, he's not sick. Just psychologically, a little bit.
Yet.
Yeah, he gave me a lecture last night on like why he should get a Hanukkah gift on Friday instead of waiting until Sunday. And I think he kind of sold it, you know?
Interesting. I am not swayed. I am not even remotely thinking about Hanukkah yet.
Well, he asks specifically for one particular thing, and he's getting it, and it's like all the other stuff he doesn't. He likes, he'll have an interest in, but there's one particular thing he has to focus on. That's yeah. the Sony, not that it matters, the VR setup thing for PlayStation. Gotcha. But, all right, here we go.
She's let me do more of the grading than she did in the beginning.
You think that, that this is helping you with your own learning?
A lot.
Well, I wasn't quite sure. That's why I up and went to see Mrs. Wilder today.
This is where your stomach drops, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man, humana, humana. The face.
You've been lying to me all these weeks, ain't you? Well, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Why? Did you want to see that boy so bad you had to lie?
I wanted to ask you if you could come by, but I was too afraid.
Of what? Of me? No. You was just afraid I'd say no. Well, I won't abide any lying, Sylvie.
I like this guy's voice, too, sometimes, even though I can't understand him half the time.
It's a nice, it's got that, that like old Western timber.
Yeah, like yeah. It's like I eat gravel.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not to see that Ingalls boy no more.
Papa, please.
You're not to see him. You tell Mrs. Wilder that you've got to come right home from school every day because we're clearing a new piece of land.
Oh, nice. They're expanding. so the bottom line is, you know what I do want to play is Albert being a little handsy, which I didn't really think was appropriate for the scene.
Okay.
So we have Sylvia leaving school, and she's obviously very anxious to go home, and she just wants to.
Oh, yes, yes.
And she's kind of ignoring Albert because she's, you know, I think when it really comes down to it, she's a good girl, maybe, even though I just called her promiscuous before.
Yeah.
Right. It's not fair on any level. So, here we go.
Come on. There is something wrong. What is
it? It's nothing. I told you I have to get home. That's all.
And he's literally grabbing her, like, stopping her from leaving. These are things that are just not okay, in my opinion.
Well, it's Christmas. I mean, it's almost time for, you know, Baby, It's Cold Outside. So, which I actually think is an adorable song. So.
Me too. I think everything that has ever been released that was taken at face value is fine. I don't think that we need to read into it.
You don't like me anymore, do you?
Of course I do.
Then tell me the truth.
I lied to Father. I didn't tell him I was with you. I was afraid he wouldn't let me. I'm sorry. I can't see you anymore.
And you hear the blacksmith in the background, by the way.
Oh, nice catch. I did not catch that. And I should be pounding harder and harder as this conversation.
Wait,
goes
I'm going to play it again. I'm curious to see if it's like.
Nothing. I told you I have to get home. That's all.
And this is happening right in front of the blacksmith. I didn't even notice this the first time. It's right in front of RV Hartwick blacksmith.
Ooh.
You don't like me anymore, do you?
Of course I do.
Then tell me the truth.
I lied to Father. I didn't tell him I was with you. I was afraid he wouldn't let me. Sorry. I can't see you anymore.
It's actually kind of annoying.
It's very annoying, but I didn't pay any attention to it because I could barely see my fuzzy screen, so I just relied on, you know, audio. Yeah.
But yeah, you have to get Prime. So I could have just given you my password and you could just log in. Hmm. So this is kind of what happens, I think, in all of our homes. As soon as we're talking about something serious and that person leaves, and you basically shit talk in front of a kid who's too little to understand what you're talking about.
Yes.
And this is Mom, Pa.
I heard you talking. Can't understand what's gotten into Mr. Webb.
And that's, the baby is, Grace, who's played by either Wendy Lou Lee or her sister, which I don't remember her name right now. And I've interviewed her, and it's same kind of story where it's, just really, really great memories and everything. But she was very young on the show. She was like, I think I'm slightly older than her. which gives you a perspective a little bit. Because I'm old.
Ish. Yeah. I don't remember how old you are, but yes.
Old do you want me to be? No.
He doesn't even come into the restaurant anymore. And Mrs. Foster was out to his place delivering a package. She said Sylvia was working out in the fields and looked ready to drop.
I talked to Reverend Alden yesterday. He said he'd go out to the Webb place and talk to him.
I hope it does some good. That child's sake.
So Reverend Alden is going to go out and talk to this man. And I think it's kind of great what this guy does with Reverend Alden, but only because people don't act like this on Little House on the Prairie.
Haven't seen you in church for some time. I thought I'd stop by to see if you're feeling all right.
I'm well.
I can see that. Would you mind telling me why you've been missing church?
This is like when Rivke Tenenbaum sends me a text saying Rami missed Hebrew school.
You're going to have to delete. You're going to have. Yes, but I agree. Yes. I don't know how I got on her mailing list, but I want off. Yeah.
Oh, well, what mailing? I didn't share your information with her.
That sounds like you did.
No, I really didn't. I'm just kind of. What do you mean? Like your what mailing list?
I don't know. I feel like I got all these Chabad updates.
Well, you should join.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah.
They're great. Are you going to be there for the Hanukkah on Ice at Grant Park? I'll send it to you.
Send it to me. Okay. Oh, that is interesting.
All right.
Been busy. Lots to do. Feels the work.
Well, the Lord was pretty busy creating, but still he found time to rest on the seventh day.
Back off, Reverend. Like, what? Yeah. That's really pushy, man. That's a bit much.
The Lord didn't have a mortgage payment to meet every month.
I like that line.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm pretty busy. Well, if you'll excuse me, Reverend.
Give me just a minute, Hector. We've known each other for a long time. Surely you can take a minute to sit down and talk.
Nothing to talk about. Already told you I'm feeling fine. Just too busy for praying right now.
That's more than that, and you know it. But you're different with folks in town. They're your neighbors. They worry about you. I was talking to Charles Ingalls.
I'm not interested in what Ingalls has to say. You ought to spend his time raising his boy proper. And not wasting it talking about other folks. And if it's my money in the plate that you're missing, you'll hear I'm paid up next month.
He throws him a couple bucks. I mean, I was like, yeah. $4? I mean, that's like...
that's, you know, a lot of money.
With inflation, a dollar equals about $25. So, you know, $100 right there.
Wow.
I bet he pocketed it.
Yeah.
Reverend Alden. Poor guy. So... it's a real dick move, what he just did. Like, who just does that? You know, just say, you could have been nice about it.
Well, which one is being a dick, do you think?
I think that Mr. the Reverend's, I think Reverend's being a little pushy, but it's his job to kind of do this. But for the other guy to throw money at him, you know.
Yeah, fair.
It's a bit much. Then again, his child was raped, so I don't know. Hopefully, you know, it's something that I never have to deal with. Like, that's just... who knows what, you know, Hector's going through.
Right.
How common the name Hector was in 1881. So we find out pretty quickly that what's going on. We're in class. Albert's stalking maybe a little bit. Not really. But he goes up to Sylvia. Sylvia seems hunched over. And
yeah, are you all right? Laura. Sick or something.
Sylvia, honey, what's wrong?
I just don't feel well.
Do you hurt?
No, ma'am. I just feel sick. Maybe if I got some air.
How about some cool water from the pump?
Yes, ma'am.
Albert?
All right, I'll go get it.
Come on, Doc.
What a clomping.
I love the pump. Yeah, I love the pump.
Let me just sift off this mud.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. I like the pump too. I think when I was just in Lancaster, they made them. They had like ones that were just kind of, I guess, decorative, made of wood.
Okay. Yeah.
I just don't know where you would put something like that. Maybe in a garden.
My father bought a giant life-size blue cow recently.
Oh, he's one of those people.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, we have one person who's somewhere in Hewlett that has one of those big cows. And yep. Somebody on Central Avenue. What's he doing with it?
More than one. His is just outside in the backyard. He's in Florida. It's by the pool.
Huh. Well.
Yeah.
You know what? At least it's not in the pool.
It would actually be better in the pool.
It would actually be really cool if you put it on floaties in the pool.
That is true.
Actually, it's probably hollow. Maybe it floats.
So it is hollow. It would float. And at Thanksgiving one night, I got drunk enough to strongly consider getting onto that cow for a picture. But
I did
not.
Sounds like a party house.
It's more like a really messed up house where we all drink just to survive. So,
This is one of the number one reasons why I do small Thanksgivings away from family.
Yeah.
I had these big Thanksgivings as a kid. And I don't personally want to, I guess, have lightning strike twice in my life. But hopefully you had fun. Hopefully you can walk away and just say, hey, you know what? It was okay. No punches. verbal punches. Just verbal punches. All right.
Just verbal punches this year. Yes.
So giving her water from the well should cure everything. She walks back in after having the water and she collapses, spilling the water, of course, all over the floor. I don't know who gets to clean that up. But we bring her to the doctor, and it's probably the first time that we see the doctor make a good move, I think, anyway.
How is she?
Conscious. She's resting. Poor girl's exhausted.
From what we've heard, that's her pa's doing.
I've heard the same stories. Exhaustion's only part of it. Albert, would you wait outside?
Now, that's a good move, but it doesn't really stick.
No.
He should have insisted.
Dr. Baker, I want to know what's wrong with Sylvia.
Yeah.
I was a beau till her pa got angry and wouldn't let me see her anymore.
You were?
Yes, sir.
Well, then you're a fuck kid.
A couple of months. Why?
You have any money saved, Albert?
She's with child, son.
Just like a man. Hold on.
He loses his mind.
Yeah. What?
She's with child. Have you and she...
No. No.
It's not impossible.
No. I never.
Oh, wait, there was that one time. This is pretty much the way I reacted when Betsy told me that she was pregnant.
Right.
Whoa, wait.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, he couldn't even get past her binder, so there's no way that anything could have happened between these two.
Yeah, the bloomers.
Exactly.
When your ring comes.
He's not lying, Doc.
I believe him.
But it's up to a judge now.
Right.
It's not really up to the doctor, right? So Doc calls Mr. Webb. And, you know, Mr. Webb has a phone, which I think is really, I mean.
But he also has walls that don't have twigs in them, so.
Yeah. I don't believe that the Ingalls got a phone. But these were not cheap, so I'm not really sure why he would have a phone.
I'm not sure what his job is, honestly, other than being a jerk. So.
I don't get the impression that Hector really has any friends, so I'm not really sure what he does. But he is bringing in big packages. I don't know what's going on in this house. Drug cartel or something.
Yes.
Hello.
Mr. Webb, this is Dr. Baker. Your daughter's here in my office.
Well, what you doing here? What's wrong?
She collapsed after school. Resting in my office.
Now, all right. Say this happened to your child, right? Collapsed, exhausted. What would you say? What would be your first response? Would it, you know, it would be
which
like,
child is this? Because one of them is a faker, and the other an hypochondriac, and the other one, I would, if I get a call from the school, it means that that child has broken a bone.
Okay.
So.
But you know, you do take it somewhat seriously.
Yes.
You wouldn't say this.
She been there all the time?
Oh, not this.
Yes.
The response.
Well, tell her to be out front and I'll pick her up.
You know, she collapsed. But yes. I'm just going to pick her up. You know, I'm not going to have, you know, she's at a doctor. You know, it's.
I think it'd be better if she rested in my office. It'll give us a chance to talk.
My boy.
Very clear connection, by
I
the way.
I think it'd be better if she talked about it in my office.
She say something to you.
She hasn't. I thought perhaps you could tell me what's happened.
Speak plainly.
I think it'd be better to talk when you get here.
You got something to say, say it.
Your daughter's pregnant. Mr. Webb. Mr. Webb.
I'll be there.
So, Pa and Albert have a whole conversation. I'm not going to really play. It's all pretty sappy kind of stuff.
But then the mom has a great line there.
Does she?
Mom has, I mean, it's okay. But mom says something like the smartest thing anyone said in this whole episode, which is, well, A, not hard, but also B, she's basically like, have you even thought about how Sylvia feels about this child?
Well, I think that's in part two.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're not at part two yet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, part two is going to fly by. Don't worry. So the plan is essentially, actually, we are in part two after this comment. They're going to sell the farm or whatever it is that they live on, and they're going to move. And that is the end of that episode. Which is great. I'm just going to load up part two here for a sec. All right. So the show opens up with Harriet being Harriet. And it's a very disturbing scene with her just talking and very close up of her mouth and her fillings.
Okay.
So it's basically this for a little bit.
Door. I overheard it with my own ears. The girl's pregnant, Margaret.
Oh, right. Right.
Well, who do you think? That Ingalls boy. Who else? Well, of course it is. Who else could it be? I've seen them together. Oh, Margaret, please. Don't be so naive. And for heaven's sakes, it's a way of life with these farm families. Well, of course, I didn't mean... No, Margaret. Well, I didn't mean... I know your husband's a farmer.
So Harriet has no filter. And which is always kind of funny. And here we are, we're at the school, and Harriet's told everybody in town that basically she's pregnant. So Albert is at this point standing up and even taking credit for being the father after Willie calls her Trampy Sylvia, which does not even really roll off the tongue.
No, it's not. A slutty Sylvia would have been much better.
I don't know if the word slutty existed back then, but I'm not really, I'd have to look into that. So,
Valid point.
Here's Albert talking to Laura.
What's going on with everybody?
Willie's been talking.
About what?
About you and Sylvia. Mrs. Olson listened in on a telephone call, and she knows that Sylvia's pregnant. And she told Willie, and Lord knows who else, that you're the father.
She what?
I know. I couldn't believe it either.
So... he looks at this as almost a badge of honor, I think, and he just accepts it, which I just think is kind of...
I think he's sort of trying to, like, stand ground with Sylvia, like, support her.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. He's 14. He's dumb, you know?
Right. So, what do we have? I mean, basically, the bottom line is... a lot happens, thankfully, in this episode very quickly, and Sylvia runs out. She is at this point. I'm sorry. I'm looking for the clip that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll
I think it was
this.
Around 27:28.
Okay, I have that, but
okay.
I'm going to play this. Albert basically shows up at the Sylvia homestead.
It's all right.
And basically scares her to death, kind of coming up behind her, obviously not knowing that she was attacked this way.
It's all right. It's only me.
all right.
Not with him.
Okay. And
I hate the sound of her voice.
It is a little bit much.
Yeah.
But to the person that you love her voice, I'm going to go to Harriet.
Yes. So
Harriet is... Caroline works in the restaurant that... I don't know who would actually eat in this restaurant. Now, they're farmers. You would think they would just cook at home, but that doesn't seem to matter. They still make a lot of food, and they seem to sell it.
Yes.
So Harriet comes into the kitchen... doing what she thinks is a good deed.
Ah, good morning, Caroline.
Mrs. Wilson?
He really told me what happened with Albert. I just wanted to come by and apologize for my son's actions.
He was only repeating what he heard from his mother.
That is not true, Caroline. I never, ever called that girl a tramp. All I did was...
All you did was listen in on a private telephone conversation, add a few lies of your own, and spread it all over Hero Township.
I don't have to stand here and listen to that. I just dropped by to bring some things for that girl. And I would appreciate it if you would drop by her house and give her these baby clothes. I'm sure she needs them. There's no charge, of course, for this.
She doesn't need your charity.
Oh, don't be ridiculous! It's not charity.
Please leave, Mrs. Olson.
Mrs. Ingalls, I am trying very hard to be your friend. And I would think that you would show some appreciation. After all, you are going to be that child's grandmother.
Mrs. Olson, on Sunday I will go to church. And I will ask God to forgive me for this. I'm about to tell you the truth. I think the good Lord would have done the same thing. I'll be back in an hour. Make sure your mother is gone.
Eek.
I love that part.
A lot of physical interactions in this particular episode.
Well, so, that was... I was actually pretty comfortable with that one.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think that she didn't slug her, at least.
Yeah, I would have slugged her. I don't know how to slug people, actually, but, you know.
Yeah, we just said something really mean that would stick with them for life.
Exactly.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Sylvia starts spending a lot of time with Albert, and she's really good at it because she gets caught all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like a constant, like, getting caught. So she's caught again by her dad because there's mud on her shoes. It's like... a Columbo episode.
Yeah. And a lot of mud on. Or like, Scooby-Doo, not a little, like, you know?
You yeah. go somewhere today?
No, I've been here all day.
This is how my son
you
lies.
You got mud on your shoes.
I just took a walk.
We live in the goddamn swamp.
This is literally how my kid gets caught in a lie, though. Yeah.
You just call him out.
Don't you lie to me.
You grab him.
No.
Who are you with?
Nobody.
Don't lie.
I'm not, please.
You know who
she is.
See you
with anyone, I'll kill him, do you understand?
It's so cruel. Olivia Barish actually grew up to be, she worked on a lot of different films. She made a documentary about Fishbone. I don't know if you ever listened to the band Fishbone.
No, I did not.
She's one of these California kind of artistic types.
Gotcha.
So I don't think she has anything to... She went a different direction than a lot of the people who were on Little House on the Prairie.
She was also on two episodes, to be honest, you know.
It's true. It's very true. But this is usually how people launch their careers very often. So when... They come up with all of these ideas about getting married at 14, which I think is very kind of interesting. And as soon as they kind of think, all right, we have a plan, the blacksmith steps in and buys the web place.
Yes. So, it's creepy as fuck.
And what they're going to do, what Hector, is it Hector? Hector Webb is going to do is sell the farm and head to California. And basically shaming her on and on. I don't know if that's the whore part where he calls her a whore.
Where they're going to tell people that her husband died in a tragic accident? That's the point that I texted you last night and was like, how old are they supposed to be? Because in what place is a 14-year-old who's already been married and widowed more acceptable than, you know, just awful.
Maybe he's thinking like in a couple of years, because clearly she's developing quickly. This is a very long scene. I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's like 7 minutes long. But Albert basically tells the blacksmith that he and Sylvia are going to run off. And the blacksmith is like, yeah, I think that's a great idea. He basically convinces him. And he's like, well, you know. Actually, no, that's not this part. I'm sorry. The blacksmith gives him a job and he says, well, yeah. And I, you know, while I'm fixing up the web house, you could be working here and I could be at the web house, you know, raping Sylvia.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and it's like...
Spoiler!
But at this point, I think it was even becoming clear that this guy is, you know, there's something up.
He wants to buy... When this man who we see at random intervals and is now buying the house... also, he looks exactly like the mime mask. So
yeah.
At that point, I was like, I can't believe this was ever... Like, he didn't even need a mask. Same face, so...
Now, one of the things I think it's a very important thing that did get conveyed in this is between the 21-minute and 28-minute marking of this particular episode, there's a discussion about Albert marrying this girl. And the Ma character, basically, I think she conveyed it very well, that it's possible that Sylvia's not happy about this baby.
Right.
Like,
right.
This isn't a good thing. Yeah, this is an unwanted pregnancy. And this is all being discussed. I don't know if in 81 this was like something that was on television to discuss, you know, unwanted pregnancies. But I think that with kid gloves, she explained it relatively well. But I'm not going to play it because it's just
fine.
Too long.
I agree. It's great, though. The main point of it was she asks how Sylvia feels about the baby. That's what Ma says, have you asked her? And at which point I have a note. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think Michael Landon was the result of his mother being raped. That is my, crazy,
interesting
association, you know, because it's so important. And she points out how complicated it is. And it would sort of explain part of the messed up dynamics of, you know, Michael Landon and his mother. And also this was the point in the episode where I also was like, thank you, Ma. Mariska Hargitay would be proud that we are finally, you know, SVU Mariska, like dealing with the victim's feelings, because she is the only one who recognizes that this shit is complicated.
I thought that was going to be a reference to her mother, Mariska Hargitay's mother.
Oh, yeah.
Who was with Anton LaVey at some point, right?
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know who Anton LaVey is. Oh, I was just going with the SVU aspect of it.
Really? You don't know who Anton LaVey is? Was?
No.
He was the leader of the Satanic Church in the like 50s
and
60s.
What do you think I do in my free time, honestly?
You read a lot. I read a lot.
I do read a lot. That's
true. Anton LaVey, he was a pretty big kind of figure. I'll send it. You've seen his photo. I guarantee it. So anyway.
Okay.
I'm full of a lot of facts, but you know, her mother was famous. I forget her name, but she was famous.
Yes. Oh no, she was the one who got her head chopped off
in
the convertible. Her name was Big Boobs. She was known for her big boobs, but so okay.
Sylvia? Yeah,
no. But that is speaking. Yes.
Oh my god, I think it's illegal for me to even have said that. All right. So here we go. And also, I think I mentioned this before, that the actress, Olivia, was only 16 here.
Yes. Oh, wait. 14. Pause. Jane Mansfield.
Yes, Jane Mansfield.
Yep. Sorry. I had to Google it. Okay. Go on.
She had the pointy brassieres.
Yes, the pointy ones. Right.
All right. So after this like long talk and everything, they're like, oh, we're having a sweet little moment in the little house. This happens.
Where is my daughter?
How dare you come into my house with a gun?
Sylvia!
She's not here, now get out!
I will ever have her out, your son.
I'll get the truth out of him, but I have to kill him!
And they go jumping in the mud and getting dirty. So serious.
And at that
storm.
Point, I kind of wanted him to have his shirt off, but he didn't.
I'm sure that there are parts that didn't make it to the final cut.
Exactly. Yeah.
Always tan too, even in the middle of winter.
I know.
They go on a manhunt. Basically, they calm Mr. Webb down, and Albert says, "I'm not the father." And
which he should have, Mr. Webb should have fucking known, but whatever. Apparently no one in this town understands how sex it works, so, you know.
But then again, I mean, how does he know that Albert didn't rape her? Or does he even understand what rape is? Like, I don't know.
I don't think he understands. Yeah.
So Albert finds Sylvia in a barn after all that rain. She's just kind of hiding away. It's very sad, but he's like, "We're going to get away. I'm going to go and figure something out." So Albert runs to his job that he's had now for 36 hours and robs them. Because now
but he knows where the money is. Because yeah, you know,
even beyond that, he knows his access to the money.
Right, exactly. As one does when one starts a new job, yes.
Right. So Albert's writing a letter because it's like an IOU is just as good as cash.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Albert. What is all this?
And this is where Albert convinces him that, like, "I'm running away to Vegas and we're going to get married. I'm taking this $30. Now, $30 in 1880, you know, for inflation is about $750 now. So it's probably enough money to get a train ticket across the country and maybe get a house. I don't know.
No, I don't think a house. I think it's like enough money for a night at a hotel and the time for the common sense.
A night at the hotel.
No, like for one night and then common sense to be like, "Oh, this isn't going to work." And then you either prostitute yourself or go back home. So,
well, you know, both
too much with the prostitute yourself thing. Okay.
Well, that was also something I was really big in New York at this period of time because of, you know, young girls didn't really have opportunity to do anything but that. There was no way for them to make money. This was another big issue.
Right, except for radium poisoning, I think, was another idea around this
time.
They
are hiring at the watch factory. There's a lot of people dropping dead.
Weird. Yeah.
As we laugh at these poor. That's really messed up, though, for you to laugh.
I'm not. That's fine.
So Albert writes a really sappy letter. It's like, "I'm going to miss you guys. Thank you for adopting me, even though I was homeless on the streets of Winoka, I believe." And he's like, "I'll never forget you," type of thing.
Right.
It's all going on. There's a manhunt going on. Basically, they're going around the town looking for Albert. There seems to be a certain urgency to it as well, which I don't really understand.
Right. Small town. But did you also say that poor Albert gets caught?
No, I didn't say that he got caught. Basically, he has a run-in with Pa, and he becomes part of the search, right?
Oh, no, I meant he gets caught by the blacksmith.
Oh, I thought I said that. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I played the clip when he walks in, and the blacksmith agrees to give him $30 with an IOU.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
So we see Sylvia sleeping in her a barn that's probably burnt out. I'm not really sure.
Well, but poor Albert also tells the blacksmith where Sylvia is.
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm skipping over.
I know. That's sort of crucial to the insanity that happens, you know, next.
And he goes, "I'm going to water the horse and you go and do this and I'm going to go do blah, blah, blah." But what he does is he goes home and gets his Harlequin mask.
Yes. He gets his rape mask. So.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there something to that? Where do you get that?
Well, and also it's a small town, like, and they don't have Amazon Prime, so doesn't someone know, hey, you know, like, if we just asked one question, wouldn't someone have been like, "You know who just bought that mask last week?"
Yeah, Nell's going, "You know, he just ordered that from the Sears catalog."
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like.
Also, by the way, to put on, so he goes and he gets his rape mask and he puts it on, but can I just point out that if he had walked in to the barn without the rape mask, Sylvia wouldn't have run. She wouldn't have known she was going to get raped, and he could have just raped her and, you know.
What was his intention here? To rape her or kill her or both?
I think his intention was to rape her. because I think he was super obsessed with her. But if, like, I guess if he wanted to kill her, he didn't need the mask. I don't know why he needed the mask to begin with, but
why wouldn't he try to kill Albert and then go after her, you know?
Yeah, that probably would have been the much smarter thing, but I guess they were holding Albert off for the tuberculosis or diphtheria or whatever.
Yeah, I think you can get that from blacksmithing. So maybe he got it while he worked there. No, you can't.
But. Or radium poisoning, yeah.
Well, they are hiring at the clock factory. no union, though. No union. So we get the reveal here, the big reveal. We all, we're watching her sleep and like, oh, good for her. She's sleeping on a pile of sticks. And we see the man walking in with the mask. He's walking over all these fallen pieces. Now, she grabs a 2x4 and goes and swings it at him.
Which is impressive.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's, you know, quick thinking.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of defense, mechanism, well, savviness in me.
It's mommy strength, you know, it's kind of like...
Yes.
You know, it's my baby. And she trips because her dress is like 4 feet long, below her knees.
Yeah.
And the, is that what they're called, pantalones?
I think so. Or that's a word that I learned in Spanish and I'm just messing up now.
Knickers or something.
Knickers is good, yeah.
She goes to climb, this is what I don't get.
Why does she climb the ladder?
And she's trying to reach the top thing. Now, when you're pregnant, you shouldn't be climbing ladders or trying to reach for things.
No, that's not a rule. You shouldn't be falling off ladders when you're pregnant.
Should
you
never are be falling to reach, off ladders.
You know, right. But you are allowed to reach for things. But I just don't understand why that's her solution. Because, like, that ladder just leads to a half-broken roof.
Yeah, like, I don't... Yeah. So... Sounds like an episode of Star Trek. Like, but, So she's climbing, and it's sad, and...
It's not sad until...
She's... Tears are coming down this poor girl's eyes, and she's climbing. She's at the top of the ladder. There's nowhere else to go.
Which is why it was a dumb plan.
Actually, the whole place is so rickety, maybe she was hoping the whole wall would fall. She is probably about 86 pounds, so, I mean...
Yeah, that's true.
89 now, because she, you know, she's putting her pregnancy weight.
Right.
You know. And you get the evil grin on the guy, and it's...
That's thing just is, a rape mask. I can't even see his face. And why is he... What is the plan here? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, she's gonna love me now. So Albert jumps on him, right?
Technically, this is all Albert's fault, you know.
Yes. So, of course it is.
It is! He jumps on him, and the rapist grabs onto the ladder, and I think the ladder falls back.
She's reaching for the top beam, and it's like...
What is her plan? No one has a plan.
You'll be 15 feet in the air, we can't even get you down.
Right.
Jump! You know, it's just not a good idea.
It's like a Three Stooges thing. Like, you climb on a ladder, someone's going to pull that ladder down. Like,
right, it's like a Charlie Chaplin scene.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, then we... it's about to, like, go down. He throws Albert off, and then we just hear a gunshot. He'd be covered in blood. That's a double barrel shotgun.
Right. I think Pa shoots him, right? Is it Pa or Webb?
No, it's Webb. Mr. Webb. And I think that would have been more suitable, you know, because at least, you know, he did that for her, you know?
Yeah, but even then, it's like, he's just a dick. Yeah,
you want him to suffer, but yeah, like, you can't even arrest him now. He's dead.
Right.
And
right.
I need horseshoes, so...
Okay.
Who's going to make the horseshoes?
Also, now no one's buying the barn, so Mr. Webb is kind of fucked now. So, but he doesn't need to leave town because, you know.
But on the bright side, maybe he already paid for the farm, and he can just kind of transfer. And Albert has $30 in his pocket.
That is true. So on the upside, this actually was a win-win episode, except like, for the world's like most impressive ending. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so if it ended here where she was like, oh, let's go get married, and it's like, well, I have $750, and the guy could go, and I'm going to give you the farm, you know, and happily ever after. Right.
Right, and then we've got the seedlings for a spinoff as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, I wonder if they look back and they're like, "What the?"
Yeah, that's their biggest regret about this episode.
Yeah, I think their biggest regret is that they didn't make it into a three-parter.
Oh my god!
So here we go. Right. We have Sylvia lived, amazingly enough.
Sort of.
We kind of think something is going to happen here. They might have a happily ever after. Wow, we have a new cast member on the show. Incredible.
Hi.
Hi.
I fell.
Yeah, you sure did.
You're not very smart. You hit your head.
Am I gonna die?
No, you were lucky. You up and around in no time.
Guess all our plans are changed.
She fell maybe 6 feet, by the way.
No, that was a very high fall. There was a very high fall. And remember, they don't have an MRI machine or CAT scan. Like,
yeah, they have a candle. Stand in front of a candle.
They have a candle and a rabbit. I mean, let's be honest.
Actually, like, they are down at the watch factory.
Yeah, they've got radio. Not
yes, you can stand in front of a couple of watches.
Yeah.
I have to go play with my pa.
No, you won't. You're staying here with me. I've already asked your pa, and he says it's all right with him.
We can get married?
Maybe.
As soon as you're up to it, it'll be Mrs. Alfred Ingalls.
Which is not his last name, but whatever.
Ingalls. Oh, I wish we could have a church wedding.
Church?
That was painful, actually. But you can, because you're a whore now that you've been raped. Ugh.
Well, I would say, I thought you were Jewish.
I am.
Eek. This is awkward.
Yeah.
Well, why can't we?
Because.
Catholic church.
Because, you know.
We can do anything we darn well please.
Can you write a letter to the Vatican?
If you want a church wedding. Church wedding you'll get.
Oh, yes, I do want one.
I think the Protestants will let them get married, right?
I don't know. At the beginning you said this was like a Greek tragedy type thing, and I have written down like Romeo and Juliet at this point. Like, it's such like the narcissism of teens. Like, you know, because this, like, Albert is sent in because, you know, 14-year-old, you know, dying girl wants to see you. And so Albert is sent in basically to... I could make so much money off therapy for Albert after this. Yeah,
they should have had Reverend Alden in there talking to her and walk out.
Yeah,
when he walked in, because I'm going to guess that I thought she was going to live here. She looks fine.
Yeah, she does look fine. But as soon as they start talking about that church wedding, I was like, oh, bitch is gonna die. And
that's
so sad. And like, I was too horrified to cry. So
2 minutes left. I mean. Right. I just hope that she found the right conditioner for her hair, because she really needs it.
I know, but she reminds me of me at 12, honestly. Aww. I need a conditioner just 16. As badly. Yeah, not the right part, just the conditioner.
Oh, that's terrible. All right.
I want to wear a long white dress. I want to wear flowers in my hair.
Yellow
flowers. And I want to walk down the aisle to you, my Albert. And I want to hear the reverend say, "You may now kiss the bride. Kiss me, my love."
This is a little bit cringy.
Super cringy.
So, spoiler alert. She dies. They kiss.
It is this weird like fantasy. Yeah, like where she essentially dies thinking she is marrying him.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
It's very sad. By the way, as I So I was doing my search before we started. Apparently there is someone who wrote a book, Constructing the Little House Gender Culture and Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Oh.
And I clearly did not read the book, but what I did find interesting was that in the related titles that were suggested to me by this particular site, it was The Handmaid's Tale, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, The Alchemist, and some book called The Other Woman. So it's a bizarre thing that all these books come up related to it. And so I guess I feel like we are still shaming Sylvia in the 21st. Are we 21st? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. There 21st century with our Google, our, you know, random algorithm Google stuff, because it's like The Handmaid's Tale and then The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And then we're going to blame her with The Other Woman. And The Alchemist, I never read, but it's a fable about following your dreams, which is sure as shit not what happened to Sylvia.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is just kind of horrible. But it's, for whatever reason, a very, very memorable episode, very dark episode. This is the episode that most people don't even know exists.
Yeah, I did not know.
The rape episode, you know, it's not as brutal. I think it's more verbally brutal than it is visually brutal. Although it does have the one jump scare.
Right.
And it does have the lurking monster kind of in the background. I do see a lot of correlation with slasher movies of the period. But
yeah, I do too. But it's more, I mean, listen, Sylvia dies at the end. That's like the punishment for her burgeoning sexuality. You know, it's sort of further shaming. So,
yeah. Well, I think in the next episode, everybody's just moved on. So.
Well, good. Maybe I'll watch it on my YouTube tonight.
I'll send you my password. But
Sounds good.
But Lindsay, I want to thank you so much for coming here. I wanted you to just kind of mention, do you have a place that people can kind of follow your career? Like, would you recommend Goodreads to be a place to look you up?
Sure. Goodreads. You can follow me on Instagram at Psych Shrink Mom or at Neurotic Nourishment or at 10 Steps Finding Happy, just to make things more complicated. Mm-hmm. And I'm also on Twitter as Lindsay S. Callen. And because I didn't know how to do social media when I started this. So
nice.
So that was it. But you'll provide the link to pre-order and all that stuff.
I'll put a link to everything in the show notes and blast it all over the Walnut Grovecast community. I think that people would really enjoy what you have to say here. I also think that it's good to have a female perspective of all of this, because especially a professional one that kind of understand, you know, where, like, well, you know what? Do you think that this episode would just be laughed at today if it was made something like this?
I don't think they could make something like this today.
Right.
I mean, I don't think they could but it's because of the smaller scenes, not because of the rape issue. It's because of like the slapping of Sylvia or the, you know, it's the subtle things that I think are, I mean, it's not very subtle, but it's like this underlying messages that are, I think are more objectable, which is a shame because I think that the interesting thing about this is it causes you to think, and just because something makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean that it shouldn't be allowed to exist.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.